So let me ask you, did you find rest last week? Did you take a moment where you really searched for God, where you quieted your heart and your mind and your soul and you just sought after Him? Or was it just another week? Was it another week of busyness, of work, activities, where you're just filling it full of doing things with people, doing things just to stay busy? Because you and I were created in the image of God, which means that you and I have a soul, and that soul needs to connect with God in a deep, deep, meaningful way. And when it doesn't, we're missing something. We're going to strive our whole life trying to fill that deep void with work, with busyness, with all these things, but the things that are just going to leave us empty. Kind of like in this image, and I love this image here, the statue of a person with this hole in them. That's an image of us when we're not connected with God. When we're not carving out a moment where we're letting Him speak into our lives and give us a deep, deep rest, there is a hole there that cannot be filled. And so there's a lot of people walking around trying to fill their lives with something, and they don't even know what it is. Even Christians are doing this because they've never stopped to rest their soul. This morning, we're going to kind of look at some scripture, and we're going to look at what Jesus said about Sabbath. And how you may be thinking right now, oh, Sabbath, oh, this is old, this is traditional, this is legalistic, but I'm just going to tell you that there is a reason that God created the Sabbath, and it's for our heart and our souls to connect deeply with Him. And when you're not taking a Sabbath rest, what happens is you have this big hole, this big emptiness. And if you disconnect from God for too long and you don't have a Sabbath rest, you know what happens? Loneliness enters, brokenness, hopelessness enters, anxiety overwhelms. Because He said, I created this Sabbath, a Sabbath rest for you, so you would connect with me at a soul level. Jesus in the scriptures we're going to look at, if you want to, I'll open up to Luke chapter 6. We're going to head to Luke chapter 6. Jesus is instructing His disciples. He's been walking with them for a while, and He's been teaching them to be my disciple means that you apply the gospel message wherever you're at. That you administer the gospel in the way that you talk, the way that you treat others, the way that you look at the world, that everything is filtered through the gospel, filtered through Him. And He's teaching them in this moment of how important this incredible moment of the Sabbath rest is. And He kind of refers us to the Old Testament first. Where do we get the Sabbath from? It comes out of Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. And if you remember, the Israelite people had been just freed from captivity from the Egyptians. And God is setting them up to be a country where He is their God. And He gives them some list of things that He wants. And He gives them 10 commandments. And He said, these are things that you cannot compromise on. And the fourth commandment is what we're going to look at and what Jesus is referring when we look at Luke. It says this, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. A Sabbath rest is a day that's set apart for God. Set apart, it's uniquely different. It's not the same thing that you do every single day. You don't let the distractions of life come in. You don't let the busyness of leisure come in. You don't let the busyness of work come in. But it's a day that is set aside. It's set apart for God. It's a holy day. And then he says, I want you to do this. He says, you have 6 days, each of you, for your ordinary work. So in other words, it's great to work. You need to work. You were designed to work. You got 6 days. Work all you want. Work as hard as you want, as long as you want. Go ahead, exhaust yourself physically if you want. But he says, on the seventh day, I want your soul to rest. And it's not just a physical rest that he's looking at here. And that's what a lot of us think of Sabbath as. It's just, if I rest from my work, I'm going to have rest. You can't just rest from work. It's just this deep rest that only comes with being in the presence of God, alone with Him. And the soul is craving for it. And he says, go ahead and work. But the seventh day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God, on that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you. I had to stop when I read that. This includes you. Danielle and I just had a conversation about a week ago about her taking a Sabbath, and my words to her were, take a day completely dedicated to God. And then all of a sudden I said to her, he says, do as I say, not as I do. And then all of a sudden I read this, and it's like, you. That's you and me. That's everybody. It says you, your sons, your daughters, your male, your female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. Now, again, I don't want you to think this is legalism when we're talking about it. Because there's a lot of Christians who've developed this attitude that since Christ came, he did away with the Sabbath. Let me tell you, if you believe that and if you think that, you are never going to find rest. Because what we're going to read today is that Jesus did not do away with the Sabbath. In fact, he instructs it even a little bit further, that we need that deep, deep rest, and it only can be found in one place, and he tells us that. But so don't think it's about the rules and regulations, but I think it's important that we understand why they had rules and regulations. Because in our culture, what has happened in our culture? In our culture, we celebrate workaholics, right? We think that if somebody works hard and they work every single day and they're prosperous and they do all this work, they're a great person, they're a stunning human being. But the problem is, being a workaholic, you get your value in work. And in America, we've gotten our value in work. The reason that we exist, the meaning for our life has flown into our work. In fact, what happens is as a child kind of growing up and you get into high school, you got to pick a career, then you go to college, and you're told that if you get the job that's your dream job and you attain that job, you've arrived. You have success. You're a successful person, and you hope it's lucrative, right? Those are the things that we define as having meaning, and they're fulfilling. But the problem is, there's a soul that has to rest. Yes, you can rest from your work. Yes, you can take all your vacations. Because everybody thinks, well, if I take a vacation because I'm tired physically, then I'm going to be rested. Or you think, I'm tired, so I'm going to take this day off so I can rest. But the problem is, you've never done the work beneath the work, which is the work of the soul. You can take every day off, you can take weeks off, and you will never be rested until you take a Sabbath rest, where you're plugged into God and you unplug from everything else. Because that's what your soul is craving for. But our world is much different. The focus is on the things that we can achieve. We get our value through work, through success. We love to prove to people that we can be competent, that we can perform. We love to prove to ourselves. And the problem with that, you never truly rest from those things. So in Luke, we have this moment where Jesus is speaking about the Sabbath. It says, one Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain field, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? So the disciples are just, they're hungry, right? They're walking through the field, and they actually glean is what they're doing. And they're gleaning, and they're rubbing those kernels, and they're eating it to fulfill a need of hunger in them. And these Pharisees see this, and they're like going, why are you breaking the Sabbath laws? Well, their Sabbath laws came from the Halakha, which is a list of over 3,000 different laws that the Pharisees came up with to try to make sure that the people did not fall away from God again. Their intentions were great. But the problem is the laws were burdensome. In fact, there's actually at least 39 different things that were considered work. And reaping was considered one of them. So the Pharisees are like going, why are you breaking the Sabbath? Why are you doing these things? Now, get this as we move into this. Jesus doesn't dismiss them at all. He doesn't say that the Sabbath is complete in me. He doesn't say you shouldn't celebrate the Sabbath. In fact, he points to what the Sabbath is really about here. And it's really about him. And it's beautiful when you start to see this in here. And then Jesus answered him, verse 3. He answered them, and he's answering them with a story from the Old Testament. And it's about King David. And he answered them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companions." So it's like in that moment, Jesus is saying, God wasn't upset at David for taking the sacred bread that was only supposed to be dedicated to the priest for them to eat after the ceremonies. It was called the showbread, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. And he says, God never condemned them. Why? They had a basic need. They were hungry. In other words, Jesus kind of takes a moment and invites us to kind of grasp and kind of contemplate, why is it okay to kind of push aside some maybe worship or rules or regulations that have been set up by God in a pinch? But it's not okay in a pinch to set aside moral law, adultery. You can't just all of a sudden decide, hey, I'm going to cheat on my wife today and it's going to be okay, right, in a pinch? You can't decide to murder somebody in a pinch. But Jesus kind of invites us in to kind of think about this. And I think why he invites us in is this. He's showing us that everything in the temple, those are regulations, those are rules, they were all set up to point towards him. And in fact, the Sabbath, all the rules and the regulations about the Sabbath, point to him. And in this moment, it's like he's going, I am the one that all these things were pointing to. And so when he's saying that it's okay to set some of those worship regulations aside, it's okay to set some of these things aside, what he's saying is those are temporary. Those are a temporary thing that were set there to bring you into worship with God. But there's one to come that was going to replace those. And that's him. And then he says these incredible words out of verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is saying he's God. Jesus is saying that he is the Sabbath. You know what he's saying? He's saying, "I am the Lord of rest. And only in me are you going to find that kind of rest at a soul deep level." Now, the problem in America is we're so consumed by just performance, aren't we? We're so consumed at achieving and doing stuff that we kind of put the Sabbath rest aside, but we don't realize that we're hurting ourselves. We're not coming into the rest that Jesus has provided for us. And I came across this article because it was a really good article about the Sabbath. It was written by Judas Shulevitz, and it was called "Bring Back the Sabbath." In the article, she kind of introduces herself, and she was formerly went to synagogue, so she was Jewish. She grew up in a very religious family with all the regulations, but she did what a lot of people do. They walk away from their faith because they get into the job market, they get into the world, and all these things seem to be satisfying, but they're only temporary. And she begins to crave something more than her career because she's writing for Times Magazine. You think, hey, she's arrived. She's got a great job, making lots of money. She has lots of friends. She has all these things. But there's a craving that was so deep in her that could only be satisfied by truly coming into the presence of God. And she writes these words. And this is what was happening on the inside of her. She says, "My mood would darken until by Saturday afternoon, I would be unresponsive and morose. My normal routine, which involved brunch with friends and swapping tales of misadventure and relentless quest for romance and professional success, made me feel impossibly restless. I started spending Saturday by myself. After a while, I got lonely and did something that as a teenager profoundly put off by blew me away. I could never imagine wanting to do this. I began dropping into nearby synagogues. Finally, I developed a theory for my condition. If formerly people suffered from the Sabbath, which means all the regulations, I now was suffering from the lack thereof. There is ample evidence that our relationship to work is out of whack. Many people suffer and are workaholics. People mistakenly believe that all you have to do is stop working to find rest. Just stop working. But the inventors of the Sabbath understood it was much more complex undertaking. You can't downshift casually and easily. This is why the Puritan and Jewish Sabbaths were so exacting and intentional. In other words, they had lots of laws, lots of regulations to follow. The rules did not exist to torture the faithful. Interrupting the ceaseless amount of striving requires a surprisingly strenuous act of the will, one that has to bolster by habit as well as social sanction. In other words, she's simply saying she was longing for a Sabbath rest. She had all her friends, she had all these activities, but it left her empty. She found herself in dark places. She found herself alone. And then when she decided to surrender her will and go back to the synagogue and establish what is the Sabbath rest, did all of a sudden something start to wake up in her? And she gets at this really thing that is very difficult for us as Americans to get a Sabbath rest. It's a discipline. It's something that you have to choose to do. Why did the Jewish people, why did God set up all these rules? Why did the Puritans set up all these rules? Because they knew that you and I would not choose to do a Sabbath rest, but we choose to do more busyness and more activities. And when you have this will that surrenders and you have this religious system that's kind of legislating it, if you will, then you're kind of forced to take that rest. And it seemed like it was a penalty to the people in the past, but it really was a blessing. Because they entered something that you and I aren't getting. A Sabbath moment with God where it's set apart and it's holy. If you haven't done that, or you're thinking, why is it necessary? First of all, if you haven't done it, I'd invite you to try it. If you think it's legalism, you're missing the mark. You're missing the point. You were designed to connect in deep intimacy at a soul level with God. And until you silence everything around you and you set this time apart, and I'm going to argue that it's not just a day, I'm going to argue it's daily. Because if it's only a day, I'm going to wander for 6 days. But you set that apart for Him. If you don't do that, your soul dies. And you have this big longing and ache inside of you. And the only thing that's going to satisfy it is being with Him. And you're thinking, that's too simple. God knew we needed simple, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't do it. So why is it so hard for us to do this? Why is it so difficult for us just to wind down a little bit and let God speak to the soul? Well, I think there's several things. Well, in our modern time, jobs. Jobs are kind of elevated to almost something that is next to God. I have to have a job, otherwise I don't have satisfaction. I got to have a job, or otherwise I don't have meaning in life. My job brings me completeness. My job, it pays for mortgage. My job, it pays for cars. It pays for things. It pays for stuff. And jobs in our culture, for probably the first time in many, many centuries, jobs are very insecure. I mean, just don't perform. You're gone. A job might not be bringing money to a company. They get rid of that job, right? That's how they operate. So what happens is a lot of us are operating out of fear. I don't want to lose my job because my job is all that makes who I am. Jobs are important, though, okay? So don't hear me saying don't work. Work. You got 6 days. Do it. So a lot of times we define ourselves by our job. Second thing is that they kind of said, and the analysts would agree, that what happened is somewhere in our culture, the top people, the top of the food chain in the company, the CEO, they used to make about 10% more than the lowest person. Now it's 100 to 200% above the lowest person. You know what that's doing? The person that's making the big bucks, they have a weight on their shoulders. They're expected to work hard and work long hours, sometimes 7 days a week, whatever it takes to get the job done. The company doesn't care if the person doesn't get rest, as long as they're performing. And what happens is that person feels the weight of that, because they know if they don't perform, there's somebody waiting in line to take their job. And what happens with the lower level? They have to take two or three jobs just to make it, because their income hasn't grown. And so what happens is they're all busy. They all have this weight. They all have this burden. Another factor is technology. We love technology, don't we? I mean, if I put an iPhone up here and said you could have it, I'd have everybody running up here, right? It'd wake you up in about 2 seconds. Technology, it's not evil in of itself, but technology does something. It makes it so we can't get away from our work. All you have to do is have a phone, and you can respond to emails. All you have to do is have a phone, and you can actually connect to the internet, a computer, and you can do your job anywhere and everywhere. And I have a phone. I can't get away from people, right? They expect me to have a phone on me 24/7 and answer 24/7. Same with you. So technology has put this burden on us as well. And the fourth thing is, and I think this is a major factor, we forgot about what the meaning of our life really is. A lot of us in the past, and you think that this is conservative, but in the past, people got their meaning from God and from their families. And they just got a job, whatever job it was, just to make it. But in our culture, it's flip-flopped. You get meaning through your job. You get satisfaction through your job. You get completeness from your job. That's how we've done it. God is somewhere over here. Families might be even in the middle. But you've lost the reason for the meaning of that you even exist. You exist to bring glory to God. You and I exist to worship Him with every fiber of our being. That's what we're made for. And when we're not doing it, we're not connected with God. So America has become this culture, probably one of the first cultures where jobs are more important than God and family. Bringing income, bringing all these things are more important. And that's bad. It's depressing. It's overwhelming. But you and I have a choice. You can choose to find your meaning in Christ and take a Sabbath rest, or you can just keep going the same way as the world. If you choose that, what happens? You miss God, and you never get into His rest. Judas Schultz also writes this: when the Sabbath was still sacred, not only did drudgery give way to festivity and family gathers and worship, but the machinery of self-censorship shut down too, stilling the eternal inner murmur of self-reproach. So what is she talking about? People that are into studying sleep have recognized that you and I don't get rest until we enter a REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement. So if you're tired and you're weary and you sleep for 10 hours and you never enter this REM sleep, you still will wake up groggy, tired, and fatigued. And what she's saying and what I'm saying is that there's this physical thing, yes, we need to rest, but there's something internal that has to rest too. You and I have to have rest of the soul. And what she's saying is the only time that you actually find that rest is if you make a Sabbath rest a priority in your life. Because there's something about taking that moment that will still this inner murmuring, that's an eternal inner murmuring of wanting to fill our needs, wanting to make other people see us differently, wanting to prove ourselves to ourselves, wanting to prove ourselves to other people, that's in there. That's constantly going on, and you're constantly battling that. And if you don't quiet that, you know what happens? You will never rest, because that's a work that can never be satisfied. But the other eternal murmuring is that desire to be connected with God. And it's only when you enter his rest do you really find soul rest. So she says these things. She's trying to get us, and what I'm trying to get us is to prioritize it and stop looking at it like it's a legal thing. It's for your benefit. It's for my benefit. So where do we get this rest? It says this in Luke chapter 6, verse 3. And it says, Jesus answered them, "Have you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only to the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." So Jesus is inviting us to find this rest in him. And he's saying in this moment, David was hungry, so he ate of this showbread. The showbread was something that was part of the worship, and the showbread was pointing towards Christ. What Christ was saying to you and I, there's a hunger in the soul that can only be quenched by eating from the bread of life, which is him. It's only when you come into the house of worship, wherever that may be for you, and you're eating of him, you're dining with him, you're feasting with him. That's why in Revelation, and a lot of people kind of look at this as a scripture that they use for trying to win people, but this is a scripture for believers, because God writes it to believers. Jesus says he stands at the door and he knocks. He's standing knocking. And if you invite him in to rest, he'll come in and he'll do something. He'll eat with you. He'll dine with you. You'll never hunger again. But that's something that you've got to choose. And I got to choose. What are you going to feed? The appetite to be more successful? The appetite to be approved in everybody's eyes? Or the appetite that's deep in the soul to connect with God? It's your choice. But all I'm telling you is Jesus said the Sabbath is important, because he said these words in verse 5. He said to them, "The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath." He's the Lord of rest. And it's only in him and through him that you're going to find rest. And it's only when you take a dedicated day, a dedicated time where you're meeting with him that you're going to find it. I could say that 20 times and there's 100 people going to go, "So what?" Here's the problem. Your soul is starving. Your soul cannot be nourished by things of this world. Only by the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of rest. And it's only by entering into his presence that happens. So how does that happen? How do we enter into that rest? How is it possible that we enter into that rest? What does it look like? I got another sermon that we're going to talk about some of that. But I want you to think about what rest does. It satisfies the soul, doesn't it? Rest started all the way back when God started the creation of the world. What did he do in 6 days? He created the heaven, he created the stars, the moon. He's created the plants, created the animals, created humans. What did he say? Every time, it's good. At the end, this is very good. And then it says that on the seventh day, God rested. Did God need to rest? I mean, he's God. He doesn't need rest. What is he doing? He's taking a moment where he's looking at everything that he's created and he's satisfied. He's going, "It is finished and it's good." And so in that moment, he's telling us that what our soul is craving is to hear, "It is finished. It's good." How does that happen? It only happens when you enter into his rest. The author of Hebrews, after giving a gospel message, says these words in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his own work. So you have this, the author speaking these incredible words that there's a rest for believers that is only found in a relationship with God. It's only found when you are recognizing that God is everything. It's only found when you truly come to the moment where you see the cross as a complete sacrifice. It's only when you understand that the cross, everything is complete and everything is finished there. And at the cross, that's where you and I find our identity in God. That's where you and I are called children of God. And it's when we start to enter into that rest, where we're carving that Sabbath rest, all of a sudden our soul begins to rest because we have surrendered. We have said, I believe. I believe you're all these things, Christ. And then what happens is something so beautiful. The inner murmur, that hole, starts to get filled with God, and you find rest. Now, if you accepted Christ and you haven't found rest yet, maybe you haven't taken hold of the fullness of the cross. Maybe you haven't taken hold of the way that God sees you because of Christ. Maybe you haven't taken hold of the forgiveness that you've been given. Because we find rest because it's finished. I mean, think about Jesus on the cross. What was going on the cross? He was taking on the punishment of sin. When there's sin, there's no rest. And you can see it in Christ. There's like this restlessness going on inside of him while he's on the cross. He's groaning. He's crying out. You can even see it in the garden in Gethsemane when he's crying out, God, not my will, but your will. There's got to be another way. He's restless. He's restless on the cross. Why is he restless? Because he's taken on our sin. And when you don't have Christ, you have no rest. And as he's taken on our sin, what does Scripture tell us? That God turns away from him. God pours out all of his wrath on him so you and I could enter into this rest that is so beautiful. Have you taken a hold of that rest yet? I love what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It said, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ lived the life that we couldn't live. And it's only when we fully embrace that he did this for us that we're going to find rest. Because what happens is all of a sudden you start to view yourself not as you see yourself, but as God sees you. What the scripture basically says is God imputes the righteousness of Christ on us. He applies it to us. So when God looks at you, he sees you through Christ. He sees somebody that's perfect. He sees somebody that has already achieved everything. And you know what he says? It is finished. The finished work of Christ in us. Have you entered into that rest yet? Let me ask you, this week, would you take time? Just a few moments a day, just to start to marvel and rest in him. Take time to say, wow, God, you are so beautiful. You are amazing. Christ, what you did on the cross, you, even though I was a sinner and I'm at unrest because I was separated from God, you died for me so that I may rest in you. And God, help me do this. Help me see myself as God sees me through Christ. And then you'll that murmuring that you want to fulfill all these desires and all these things and you want to prove yourself to everybody, that will be squashed because your meaning is in Christ and he's everything that you need. So would you take time just to pursue him a little bit? Carve a moment where you can find soul rest. Otherwise, this image is what you're going to look like empty and broken. So in your soul, let your soul delight in him as we sing this last song. It's a beautiful song. Talking about the beauty and the glory of God. Talking about how wonderful he is. Celebrating the salvation. Celebrating his return. Let your soul just worship him. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, and God, help us to take this seriously, that we need to have a Sabbath rest where we're completely setting apart time for you, where our soul is connecting with you, God. Help us to see that that is our deepest need that we have, and you are the Lord of rest. You've came into this world to give us it. God, give us the ability to enter into it. Out of obedience, yes, but because of desire to dwell with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.